Turnbull, January 25th, 1989. This is the second tape that we've done with Bruce, and I'd like to start by asking you, when you listened to the first tape, were there any things that you decided you wanted to add to or change?
I don't think so. It was pretty good. It was not quite as loud as it should have been, but I suppose the other ways they'll get all the information off it. It's a little bit soft. It was very
yeah, cool. I thought that too. That it was
yeah, quiet. A little bit soft.
One of the things I don't believe I heard when I recorded, when I listened to the recording, was I believe that your Northville Electric Shop changed locations. Did you tell us the location of the store, the second location?
I'm not sure, but I thought I did, because, yes, I did, because we went into the story about Dillinger and being
okay.
down there and all that, so
right. All right.
We touched on that pretty well, from West Main Street to East Main Street.
Okay. And when we ended the last tape, we were talking about the time immediately after the war when you began wiring the homes in Northville for television. And it might
well, excuse me, we weren't wiring the house for television.
Wiring houses.
We wired the houses, and later right. on we installed television
antennas
for television.
Right. Right. Okay. And we didn't talk too much about your family. It might be a good time to talk about the children and the kind of things that they ran into in their school years.
Okay, Rita, you take that one, please.
Well, I really... Bob, we moved from Plymouth. We lived in Plymouth 1 year trying to find a home or a lot to build a home on in Northville. And with the trains and everything also, we didn't want to stay there any longer than we had to. And so we found...
Excuse me, what Rita meant by the trains is, you know, every time you go between Northville and Plymouth, there's always a train to catch you. And I was working in Northville at the Northville Electric Shop, and every time I leave to come to work, well, there'd always be a freight train between here and Plymouth. And we wanted to come to Northville anyhow, and that was our idea to move to Northville. And we looked for almost, well, the whole year we lived in Plymouth, we kept looking for a place to move to Northville. Go ahead, Rita.
Well, so we found this house being built, started on Eaton Drive, 350 Eaton Drive. In fact, it was kind of a coincidence, because I had bought this lot when I was working for Detroit Edison here in Northville in 1938, 39. And when Bruce went into the service, we decided we weren't going to probably live in Northville. This is...
Well, not live in Northville on that lot.
Well, not live in Northville on that lot. So we sold it. And then, after he came out of the service, and we were looking here, this house was going up on this lot, and there was very little building going on in Northville in those days.
Excuse me, may I interrupt? When after we got married, why Rita said to me, I own a lot in Northville. And I said, where is it? And she said, up on Eaton Drive. And I said, well, let's go up and look at it. So I took one look at the lot, and I said, oh, there's no way that a house could be built on that lot because it's on the side of a hill. So Rita bought it at one price, and she sold it for another price. Well,
and,
did you think
and
it, you
actually,
think it there then?
And they weren't building tri-level homes in those days. So, Bruce inquired one morning, and this man was building it on his own, the first house he built in Northville, and he lived down the street. And it was really a super constructed house. Well, anyway, you tell him about when you went up to...
I came by the house there, and this man was building that house on 350 Eaton Drive, and I said, is this house for sale? And he said, who are you? And I said, what do you mean, who am I? And at that time, they had a strike going on, a union strike on builders and the carpenters. And he said, are you a union man? And I said, no, I'm not a union man. He said, what do you want? I said, well, I might want to buy your house. In the meantime, he was up on the roof with a hammer in his hand. I guess he's going to protect himself in case I against the union. So he came down then, and then we negotiated to buy the house.
And at that time, I had rheumatic fever and wasn't supposed to go up and down steps. and it was a one-story, a one-level house, and we, of course, I could go up the basement steps, which I did later on when I was better, but you could go into the house from the front, and it was all one story. Well, this is where we moved from Plymouth, and Bob was just in the first, in the kindergarten there at the Smith School, which just opened also, and it was all...
Bob was our oldest boy, our first boy.
Our first son. And so when we moved here, he had no friends in Plymouth. He had all the friends in Plymouth, and Michael, who was three then, going on four, he didn't have any friends in Plymouth. Well, when we came here, it was just the opposite. Michael had all the friends, they were all his age, and Bob didn't, so he wasn't very happy at first. And when we moved in fact, that was the first year the OLV school, new school, started first grade. So Bob was the first one to go to OLV school when the first grade commenced. And when we moved in, this neighborhood was all older people, all retired. And the word went around that the Turnbulls were moving in with three boys. They didn't know what they were going to do, but the lady next door, Mrs. Eigenberger, who was, whose mother?
Orla Owen's
wife's mother.
Excuse me, Orla Owen was a man in Northville who had a business in Northville. He had a clothing store in Northville. And later on, when he worked for the racetracks, and he was
the
commissioner of the races. But Orla Owen was formerly of Northville, and this was his wife's mother and father.
So they said, give them a chance. Let them show if they're going to be a nuisance or a detriment or a nuisance or contribute to the neighborhood. So anyway, we kept the children under control, so they all accepted us. So, then Michael started school here, and...
Excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt, but a lot of Bob, when he graduated from the 8th grade from Our Lady of Victory, there were 8 students in that class, 4 boys and 4 mm-hmm. girls, and like Rita said before, that was the first class that graduated from Our Lady of Victory, from any of the students who started in the first grade and went all the way to the 8th. And at that time, the OLV had consisted of 4 classrooms taught by Catholic sisters.
What year is this you're talking about that you first moved to Northville?
It was 1959 1959 when Bob graduated.
All right,
from
just
OLV.
A minute.
So it would have been
1952. 1952, we moved to Northville. We stayed in Plymouth a year because Craig was a year old, that's all. And then all the three boys went to OLV school. Then Carol came along, I won't go into any details,
right.
And then she graduated from OLV, and they all went up to Norfolk High School. There wasn't any big activities. Of course, all the boys played sports. OLV, you want to take that about the sports? You were the coach?
Well, a little bit. OLV didn't have any sport activities at all, so the parents got together and made arrangements to have facilities for gymnasiums for them to practice in. And we got the athletic program started because we knew very well if the boys didn't have an opportunity to play sports in grade school, they'd never have an opportunity to play sports in high school. So all of our boys...
Talk about the uniforms.
Uniforms, why, we didn't have any uniforms, so I went up to the Northville High School and saw Al Jones, which was the athletic director at that time, and he donated... football uniforms for a football team from
the
high school.
That they were going to throw away.
That they're going to throw out in the junk. And later on, he donated basketball uniforms for us. to play basketball, and so the first year our OLB team were orange and black in colors, just like the Northville High School was. Then the next year, why, we got them into CYO and we changed the colors to blue and white uniforms, and that's what they're wearing there today. But the boys went on through high school in Northville.
So the two older boys played on the team, and Craig was just about 7 or 8, so he was a water boy, and Carol was the junior varsity
cheerleader.
They had cheerleaders, but she was about 4, so she went along with them, and she was kicking, and it was kind of cute. The whole family was involved with the teams.
And that was when they were in the 8th grade.
Yes. Then they all went on. Well, Brian then came along a little later, and at that time, when he was in the third, I think it was the third grade, there were rumors that OLB school was going to close. And it was pretty definite, because they didn't have the funds, and I don't know what...
Also, they could not get the Catholic sisters for teaching, and they were afraid that they were thinking that they might have difficulty in getting regular lay teachers to teach.
And so we decided, rather than if they did close, he would go to the public school with all the rest of the children as a large group. We would take him out at that point and send him to Northville schools, which proved to be the right decision, because all our children were musical and they all took piano lessons. He took piano lessons, and he was able to be in the band, which at 4th or 5th grade, and went on to Northville High School, and was in the jazz band and different musical activities, and also
I think that's no.
It was a good decision on our part that we sent him at that time, although the Catholic school did not close.
So Brian is the only one that attended the public schools. Mm-hmm. I mean, they all attended the high school. Mm-hmm.
And it was a little transition for them to go from Catholic school to the high school at 9th grade, because the children, they had their little cliques, and it was very difficult for them to get in. But they were musical, and they were athletic, and they were good students, so eventually they were absorbed in the group.
At the time that they entered the 9th grade, were the Northville High classes were bigger by then, right? Because I know at one time the classes were not that large, but...
Well, in Bob's class, they had...
The enrollment of Northville High School was the largest in the 70s. Okay. It was like 1,475 students in the schools in 74 and 75. Mm-hmm. And that was the largest enrollment Northville's ever had. At the present time, it's 1,335 and raising again. But so then, when they're at the school, they were right at the peak of the amount of students at Northville High School.
So that's about, they all went on to college, and they all worked in the summer at different jobs, and each one of them. And then they would use their money, and what they didn't have, we would give them to complete their year of college. But they all worked towards their college, too, in the summertime. But we didn't like the children to work during the time when they were in high school or college, and to be able to enjoy everything, all the activities and study, rather than having to go on a daily job, wouldn't you?
On the, I believe on the other tape, we did mention that the reason that you moved to Plymouth when you first got married was because you couldn't find a place to live in Northville.
That's right. We started out in Wall Lake. When I came out of the service, we bought a little house in Wall Lake, and lived there for a year. And we needed something a little larger and a little more modern, so then we moved to Plymouth with the idea of trying to find a place in Northville. But in those days, there were no homes being built in Northville, there were no subdivisions in Northville, and you just had to be lucky enough to catch an old house in Northville that was up for sale, and that was difficult. So like I said, we took us over a year, and we'd look every day and watch the papers every day. There just were no homes in Northville for sale.
That sort of fits in with what I'm asking now. The streets, the houses on Eaton, most of these houses are older than the house that you had built. Is that right? That was the only one being built.
There then there was one down the street, Dave Kaminsky's, next to, on this side.
And they split the lot down the street on Eaton Drive, and his was the second house built on Eaton Drive in the last 75 years. There's only been two homes built on Eaton Drive in 75 years.
Down the corner, but that's Fairbrook, so.
Right, that's facing Fairbrook, so.
That's true.
Okay, maybe, because I believe, Rita, your family was always a part of the OLB congregation?
Yes.
Maybe you could say a little bit about the history of that church, because I don't think anybody that's been interviewed so far.
I think Bruce is going to give a speech up there next week, so he has all the
facts. He knows more about that.
I think so. You even know before you were a member there.
It's rather interesting. Northville Our Lady of Victory Church was a mission church up until 1922, and they from 1886 until 1922, we had seven different Catholic priests taking care of Northville, and Northville was St. Mary's of Northville. And then there's a St. Mary's of Milford, and there's a St. Mary's of Wayne. And one priest would handle all three towns. And what he would do, he would come to Northville by train and get off the train and stay at Mr. Kohler's house, which is right across from the railroad track down by the spring, and it is now the wagon wheel now, where the wagon wheel is now, that's where Mr. Kohler's home was, and the priest would get off the train and walk across the street, and there were 12 families in Northville that were Catholic at that time, so they would notify the 12 families in Northville and bring them down there for Mass. Some days Mass would be on Sunday, and some day Monday or Tuesday or whenever it worked in the schedule. And then the priest would get back on the train and go over to Milford and say a Mass there, and then he'd get a horse and buggy, and he would come by horse and buggy from Milford to Northville to Wayne, and as he was driving his horse and buggy along, it was 18 miles to Milford and 18 miles to Wayne, then he would stop and visit his parishioners, the few that are in the area, as he went along, and it took him a month to make his route. So Northville would have a Catholic Mass once a month. And that lasted up until 1922. And in 1922, a Catholic priest came in named Father Schuler. And Father, you want to tell me a little bit about Father Schuler?
Yes, he lived right down, he lived on Thayer Boulevard, and right at the end of Eaton Drive. And Miss Molitor was his housekeeper, and she was the church organist, and it was a small congregation. I don't really know how many, and we had a choir, and she was quite the lady, but she really was the organizer too, besides Father being the financial consultant and of the church, but everybody, it was a big family group, and they did everything together. For instance, Father Schuler was a member of the Rotary Club, and he was a cigar-smoking man, and he was quite, everybody liked him in the Rotary Club, and my father and Mr. Black and Mr. Lefevre, four of them, and my father, they would play
cribbage
once
I guess, a month, and they would have their little, not social hour, they didn't drink,
get
but they
together,
get
yeah.
together once a month, and they really had a good time. I can remember those days when they played at the house.
And what did they eat?
Well, this one man was a butcher, and they would have these raw, the best of meat, ground hamburgers with Limburger cheese. And this was quite a treat for them.
it was excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt you, but when Father Shooter came to Northville, he was a very, very popular priest, a very, very popular person with a dynamic personality. And in those days, why, the Protestants were the dominating people of Northville, and I wouldn't say that the Catholics were looked down upon, but they were in the minority. And so consequently, Father Joe Shooter, and everybody would call him in Northville, would call him Father Joe. Wherever he went up, even the Protestants called him Father Joe. But he probably did more for the good of the Catholic religion in Northville than any other person before or since, because he was such a dynamic personality that he would just win friends by the dozen. So some people would say, well, I'm not sure about the Catholics in Northville, but that Father Joe was a dandy fella. So the first thing that Father Joe Shooter did, he had to change the name. He didn't have to change the name, but we're not St. Mary's of Wayne anymore. So he changed the name to Our Lady of Victory, and I won't go into too much about that, but I'll just touch it slightly. Back in 1492, on October the 7th, there is a great battle in Europe when the Turks were attempting to take over Europe. And the Pope at that time got together all the different ships and defeated the Turks. So actually it was a war on Christianity. And the war ended on October the 7th. And so they had a big celebration in praying to Our Lady for victory. And so when this church started out in 1922, on October the 7th, it was typical, Our Lady of Victory. And so that's the reason that they named this church Our Lady of Victory in response to the war in Europe.
So that was the first time that an actual building was built, is that right?
There was a little building.
It was a prefab.
Okay, you want to tell me about it?
Well, it was a prefab. No,
it was a prefab church, and it's right on the corner of Orchard Drive and Thayer Boulevard. And you can see right today whereabouts it was, because there are two evergreen trees right there, pretty good size evergreen trees, and the church was right in between those two trees. And in 1942, why Rita and I were married, was married in that.
We were, right?
We're married. 42? 44.
Yeah, 42.
42.
Married.
All right. 1942, we were married in that little church. So go ahead, take it from there if you
well,
want.
No, and
unless
we won't,
you have any
we
other
don't,
questions.
We won't go into detail about the property in the beginning. I don't think
all
that's
right,
it.
All right.
And then Father Shooter left, and Father Schramm.
Oh, excuse me. Father Shooter was there for 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1938, he moved on into Detroit, and they've had many.
Well, Father Hubert came for a short time, and then Father Schramm, who was going to marry us, but he was transferred just before, a couple months before we were to be married, and a Father Lynch from Ann Arbor came, and we didn't know if we wanted a priest that we weren't familiar with. But Father Lynch was such a great fellow. I'll tell you how great he was and how influential he was, that when we were married, we had both priests. And on our honeymoon, which was a difficult time in those days because they were gasoline rationing, but he talked...
Excuse me, just about a little bit about that. We wanted to go on our honeymoon to Torch Lake up north, So we had to go around and everybody donated us some coupons, some gas coupons, so we could go up north on our honeymoon. So,
and Father, he was going to visit his mother in what city? Well, I forget.
It's over on Lake Michigan.
Michigan. And he asked if we would stop there, and Bruce and he would go out and play golf. And I visited with his mother. But he was a great fellow, and he died, less than 10 years later in his 40s from cancer.
You have a pretty good wife when your wife lets you go out and play golf on a honeymoon. So,
yeah,
nothing else to do, so I went out and played golf. So.
So earlier you also said that when Father Schuller first came to town, he lived in a house on Thayer Boulevard at the edge of Eaton. Which one would that be? The
well, it would be right here.
Where to the right?
Yes, you know where the young couple, all right, to the right of it.
Oh, the
with
house
their little porch.
There.
Yes, on this side. On this side.
So it's actually the house that would be like two houses east of Eaton Boulevard.
That's right.
On the
north side.
On the north side.
Uh-huh.
Right.
I don't know the number.
Later on, the Catholics tore, when Father Wichtel came to Northville, then he built a new Catholic church. And after that was completed, then they tore the old wooden church down. And that church was used as it has been for about 20 years. And then just recently, they have done an uplifting on the church and the school.
Renovation.
And in between, they added on four more rooms of the grade school. And the grade school was all taken over by lay teachers, no more Catholic sisters there at all, as full-time teachers. And then they
added.
No. There are two sisters there.
But not teachers.
They don't
not teaching. No. One's in charge of the music, and Sister Chris is in charge of the music.
And Sister Kathleen in charge of hospital visits and lay people on visiting. Also, did you tell about, I don't know what year, can you think, Juan? They purchased the brick house next to the church. And that was a priest residence, and at the time they built the new church, what year would you think they purchased that? I would say in the 30s, but I'm not positive, I'd have to think it out. They built a new home for the priest next to the church, and moved the house across the street? No, they should have, but they tore the house down, which was a lovely house. And now that the priest's home...
Well, just a minute before that, there's a druggist in Northville named Lou Stewart. And Lou Stewart had a drugstore right across from the theater. And so he wanted to sell his house, and his house was on the corner of Orchard Drive and Main Street, right there on the corner. So he sold his house to the Catholic Church, so the Catholic sisters would have a place to live in and stay in. So they acquired that property, and do you want to tell them about the other?
Okay, this is the southeast corner we're talking about, the one that's adjacent to the Catholic Church, or the
brick one right on the corner, right on the corner there.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to tell them about the?
And then, later on, they purchased the Schrader house across the street on Orchard Drive, the southwest corner, and that was the priest's home, and they turned the new building that they had that the priest had lived in, and they had built in, I would say, the 40s.
Nelson Schrader owned the furniture store in Northville. Now this isn't the Nelson, the one who just sold the building, it's his father. And so he lived there, and so...
Oh, it was the one who owned the building. Nelson Schrader Jr. sold it to them.
Well, there are three Schraders. There's Mr. Schrader Sr., who started the business, and then he had a son named Nelson, and then Nelson had a son who ran the business up until just recently. There were three Schraders. Anyhow, they bought that building, they bought the home from Nelson Schrader and turned that into a for the place
for the parsonage
for the priests, and they're using it at the present time. They also own all the land up to the corner. That woods there in the corner is all owned by the Catholic Church.
So, and now they, the former priest's home, they turned into offices for the church.
And that's right. The brick building that faces on the
right.
Yes.
They have over 200 children going to school there right now, and they're doing a very good job, and the children are getting a very good education. And most of the children are Catholic, but there are some that are non-Catholic, who some of the people in Northville figure that they would get a better education, possibly, or an equally, if not better. So they have some of the non-Catholic children going to school.
The classes at OLB are currently smaller than the classes in public school, aren't they?
I'm not sure about that, but I would say a little bit. I'm just guessing. I would say between 20 and 25 per class. In the grade schools, it's around 26 per class, so it's pretty close.
While we're talking about churches, I don't think on the other tape you mentioned anything about your own church background.
Oh, okay. I was brought up a Baptist in Northville, and so I went to the Baptist church until I was about 18 years of age, and I even taught Sunday school in the Baptist church.
And the Baptist church was located where it is now?
The Baptist church is located where it is now.
Which is
on and, later on, my mother had a little rumble with the minister, so she became a Methodist. So my father was a Baptist, my mother was a Methodist, and when I was in Jacksonville, Florida, working on a construction job while I was going to college, I took Catholic instructions to become a Catholic, and even though I was a Baptist at that time, and I had always gone with Catholic girls, and I thought it was a real fine religion. So then when Reed and I were going to be married, the Catholic priest said, you have to take instructions to become a Catholic. And I told him I'd already taken the instructions in Florida. So then I became a Catholic. And so at one time we had my father going to the Baptist church, my mother to the Methodist church, and I was going to the Catholic church. But we all got along very harmoniously.
Would you like to say anything maybe about the any of the church structures, where they're located or how they've changed? Or?
Well, the churches ever haven't changed. One little item about the Methodist church, what I always thought real bad for, or sadly about, the Methodist church, I'm sure if they could have got parking places, they would have stayed where they were on Dunlap Street. But the Methodist church had problems of parking. And they went to the city hall and they said, could we acquire these two houses to the west of us and tear them down for parking lot? City hall said, no way, you cannot tear those houses down. We don't want any of these old historical homes torn down. So consequently, the Methodists then went out on 8 Mile Road and built a church on 8 Mile Road and put their church up for sale, which later on turned into be a restaurant. And right after that, the city came in and they found a building that they wanted to make a little miniature mall. And so they put the mall in. The first thing they had was have parking places. So they took down about 26 homes in Northville, all the way down on Dunlap Street and all the way down on Wing Street and down on Katy Street and down on South Center Street. And where I always felt real badly about that, because all the Methodists wanted to take down was three houses, and no way. And then the city came by and took down 26 houses. And then the mall didn't materialize.
And Mags
are in the building right now.
And the restaurant didn't.
Right. And the restaurant fizzled out. And right now, it's used for a church at the present time, but the building's up for sale, and it might be something else in the near future.
Of the 26 homes that the city took down, do you have any estimate how many of them were moved rather than torn down?
I think there was very few of them. I can't think of any at all much were ever moved.
I know somebody told me one, but I just wondered if that was the
only
one.
There might have been a few.
One of them that was on Dunlap, and I don't remember which of the interviews.
Oh, yeah, the one on Dunlap was the minister's parsonage. It was moved down on the far corner there.
Of Dunlap and Rogers?
That's the Methodist minister's house.
No,
they didn't move it there,
honey. That was a Methodist minister's house later on after they tore the houses down, the end of Dunlap Street and Rogers.
There might have been a couple of them moved, but
as far as you know, they were all destroyed.
Yeah, most of them were mm-hmm. taken down, and some of them were beautiful homes.
Yes.
Beautiful historical homes. The ones on Dunlap were very pretty, and the ones on North Wing Street were very nice.
Mm-hmm.
The ones on South Wing, down toward the post office and around the corner there on Katy Street, they were moderate homes with nothing.
They were of the same style that still remain. The houses that are there, that's
more or
the
less, yeah. So they weren't the historical homes. The beautiful homes are of course up on Dunlap and on North Wing Street.
I don't think we talked very much about the community organizations that you might have taken part in or that were active.
Oh, okay. When I was in business in Northville, the Rotary Club was going on, and there was a club called Exchange Club going on. And the Exchange Club at that time met in the Methodist Church, and it was a larger... or just as large as the Rotary Club, if not larger. In fact, a lot of the businessmen in Northville belonged to both the Rotary Club and the Exchange Club. The Exchange Club would meet on Tuesdays, the Rotary Club would meet on Tuesdays and the Exchange Club would meet on Wednesdays. And Essie Nyreder was the president of the Exchange Club when I was with him. I was the vice president, and then later on I became president of the Exchange Club. And like I said, we had almost 50 members in there. One real quick little story, and I'll tell this here. How much time do we have left on there?
We're going to have to turn it pretty soon, but we have a few minutes.
Okay. When I was exchange president, I'll just toss this in.
Not too much.
Soapy Williams was our governor at that time. And Soapy Williams, somebody said it would be nice to have Mr. Williams come down here to a meeting. So we contacted him and we made an appointment. So he came down for Exchange Club dinner. And so when Soapy Williams arrived a little bit late and the state policeman escort came in first, and Soapy Williams, of course, being a Democrat, and Rita's father said, "I understand Soapy Williams is going to come to Northville, and could I have the pleasure of coming over and talking to Mr. Williams and shaking his hand?" Because Rita's father was also a Democrat, and you have to remember that practically all of Northville was Republican, and they're still Republican as of today. I would say the majority of Northville are Republican. So anyhow, Mr. Williams came in the door, and Mr. Heatley, Rita's father, was sitting by the door, so I walked over to meet Mr. Williams, and I said, "Mr. Williams, I'd like to have you meet Mr. Heatley." I said, "I got news for you. Between you and he, you're probably the only Democrats in the whole room. You're going to talk today to 50 Republicans." And so Mr. Williams, I didn't realize how tall of a man Mr. Williams is, but he's dead now. He was about 6'4", and a real big, tall man. So he came in, and Rita's father stood up. So Mr. Williams shook his hand. He says, "Mr. Heatley, I'm so happy to meet you." And so then he went ahead and gave his presentation of his speech. And he gave a very, very good speech. And I was a little bit unhappy with the Norfolk Record at that time. Not that I want any publicity for myself, but I thought it'd be good for the Exchange Club and good for town. I went over to Mr. Schleiger, and I said to Mr. Schleiger, "Mr. Williams is coming into our noonday meeting. Would you like to send in over a reporter to cover the meeting?" And he said, "Well, Bruce, the elections are coming up next week, and Williams will be defeated, and before the record comes out, why, he won't be the governor anymore. He'll be a defeated governor. So I made a decision that we're not going to attend the meeting. I'm not going to send somebody over there to your meeting. And I said, Bill, are you sure? And he said, no, that's it. That's my decision. I said, well, okay, if that's your decision. So I was very unhappy with Mr. Schlager, because as you know, the record shows that Williams was reelected, and so he was the governor for another 4 years. In fact, I think he was the governor for what, for about 12 years?
Governor for a long time.
Yeah, for a long time. So,
Well, let me just, a couple of things. That after I graduated from Clary College in 1937, I was in 37 and 38 the first secretary to the Chamber of Commerce in Northville.
They had a coordinating council, too.
And a coordinating council. It was kind of a combination of the two at that time.
They call it the coordinating council.
Yeah, the coordinating council. And I was for a couple of years, and that was real interesting and enjoyable.
And this was when the Chamber of Commerce was first founded?
Well, or the coordinating council, they called it then.
They didn't call it the Chamber of Commerce. Yeah, they called it the coordinating council, but they did the same type of work.
Same thing. Mm-hmm.
They coordinated all the different activities, all the different activities and business places going on in town. And also, they had a retail merchants association, which was very strong in that at that time. And they had their meetings down at the VFW hall, and they would have an attendance, about 30 or 40 businessmen at one time, which is pretty good. In fact, even today it would be good if they could get 40 businessmen out in Northville. So they had a real strong retail merchants association.
Did the coordinating council have offices?
We met, I think, from what I can remember, at the City Hall, which was the old building before the new one was built on Main Street and Wing. And then, too, such a contrast to today's living and traveling to the city, I was a member of took a position at the Detroit Edison, with the Detroit Edison on Dunlap and Center Street, and I was a member of Detroit Edison Girls Club. And once a month in those days, I'd travel right downtown by myself and stay till 12, 1 o'clock and come home and never had any fears. But, of course, it's a lot different today.
Tell them about your view from out your window of your office. Tell them where the Detroit Edison was.
I did.
Okay.
Center and Dunlap Street, where the Holland Newton building is now. And my first job there was by the big windows facing Dunlap Street, and across the street was Sam Pickard's butcher shop. And right next to he's the one that owned that whole building where the old
opera house
was. And the opera house was there at that time. And in the back of the building, right across from where I could see my desk, he would be killing chickens. And it was a gruesome sight.
Butchering chickens.
Butchering chickens and other things. And it was really an awful sight. But
at one time, the Detroit Edison building, Detroit Edison Company, this was the main office
for Livingston County.
For the whole district.
For the district. And then it came, rearranged the districts, and this was a local office. And there were just two of us girls that stayed there, and then they had a bigger crew down the basement repairing appliances. And then it turned back into a district office, the Wayne district office, and then we had a, it was a big office again. And the manager always of the Detroit Edison, it was a Detroit Edison house originally, on Dunlap and, not Linden, what is that, West Street, the northwest corner. That was Detroit Edison House, and each manager would live there. But now, of course, it's...
He lived there at no charge, practically, and the Edison would even send out people to mow the yard and trim the bushes. So not only did Detroit Edison have their main office here in Northville, and the main office went all the way to Howell. So this whole district, including up to Howell, was all Detroit Edison.
Which corner of Dunlap and Linden?
The northwest. You know, the white, the nice...
A real pretty house right on the corner.
The white one on the corner.
It needs painting right now, but it's a real pretty home. Just one thing, and I don't mean to hog this, but in the early days when Detroit Edison started to have their electric power and was going to take it all the way up to Williamston, why, they started wiring lines up Old Grand River, and my father and his electricians followed the Detroit Edison up Grand River, and if they would get six farmers on each crossroad between Novi and Williamston, then the Detroit Edison would run their lines down to the north and south off Grand River. So it appeared of a few years why my father and his electricians helped to wire all the houses between Novi and Lance and Williamston and the farmhouses each way for about six farmhouses each direction all the way to Williamston. I'm sure he wasn't the only electrician doing that, but he and his men helped, and they started in Novi, and after a period of years, Detroit Edison ran their...